This is VK6 Amateur Radio News with News West for Sunday the 25th of September 2022, and today is the New Amateurs edition, where we have information that's useful to new amateurs and to old amateurs. We welcome and congratulate those who have just entered the hobby and got brand new call signs, or maybe they've upgraded. Today we reflect on the things that happened during the weekend amateur radio in Australia, and we've got an interesting interview of VP6MW, that's Merelda, on Pitcairn Island. That's a live interview that Andrew did on Pitcairn Island. Our website is vk6.net, and our email address for News West is newswest@vk6.net.
Getting into the hobby of amateur radio is as simple as getting in touch with Ham College, the Northern Corridor Radio Group, the Bunbury Radio Group, or the Peel Amateur Radio Group, and getting your foundation line. Contact details for these clubs can be found on our website, vk6.net. To encourage new amateurs on air, we'd like to share with you the people who have gained, upgraded, or renewed their license in the past month. At the foundation level, let's welcome Roman, Gidden, Sturt, Mike, Philip, Travis, Gary, Paul, Richard, Agile, Andrew, Paul, John. Congratulations to Shane and Michael on obtaining their standard license. A few of these may still be waiting payment, so be sure that you have a receipt from the ACMA for your new license before using it. Please note that although your license may not show on the online register, your receipt authorizes you to work your new call sign. For new calls, congratulations on joining amateur radio. And if you're an old hand who's upgrading, enjoy your new on-air identity. Of course, if you hear these calls on air, please make them feel welcome. In case you're wondering, there are 1,438 amateur licenses held in VK6 today.
Frederick Marryat, a 19th century British novelist and sailor, in 1844 wrote in Settlers in Canada, "I think it much better that every man paddle his own canoe." Most canoes are not equipped with amateur radio. Not now, and certainly not in the 19th century. So why am I talking about canoes? The expression instructs us to make our own choices and live with them. It all sounds a bit serious when we're trying to talk about starting up in the amateur radio hobby. I guess what I'm trying to say is that we all enter the hobby a bit wide-eyed, and only some of us know exactly what we want out of it. My advice to anyone new to amateur radio is to have a go at anything that takes your interest. Apart from some very specialised areas, most of us can explore a great deal of the hobby with basic HF, VHF or UHF equipment. The other thing to consider is a computer interface, because an interface between your computer and your radio opens a wide range of new opportunities, modes and activities for you to explore. I reckon there's one set of skills that almost every newcomer to the hobby needs, and that's a confidence boost in on-air operating skills. Unless you bring those skills with you from another hobby or job, getting on air is one of the scary bits of amateur radio. One way to work through it, though, in fairly good time, is to participate in a team working a contest or a special event station. In this environment, you can see others in action and pick up skills and gain confidence. Back to the canoes. As you commence your journey into amateur radio, it's up to you to see what's ahead and decide which way to go. Grasp opportunities to learn as best you can. You'll hear and see a lot from other amateurs, much of which you'll find useful, and you'll be able to adapt these ideas for your own use in the hobby. Unfortunately, you will also see and hear things that aren't helpful. In that case, don't forget, paddle your own canoe.
This item is from Colin, a regular News West listener. Although when you hear it, you know it's not Colin. He supplied this synthesized voice version, and we thought we'd just give it a whiz.
I recently applied for a change to my amateur license from standard to advanced. One part of the all-knowing grapevine told me it would cost me a $51 variation fee payable to the ACMA, and my current expiry date would stay the same. A telephone call to the ACMA soon set me right. The process is now to apply for a new license at $80, and then surrender the other license and apply for a refund of the unused portion. The lovely ACMA customer service people explain that this, usually, ends up being cheaper for the client, because the variation process is a manual one, and so more expensive. There is one main proviso though. If the refund amount is less than $30, you're out of luck. The ACMA won't refund anything less than $30. Also, they won't refund any part of the amount that constituted an administrative fee. By way of example, the recurrent fee for an amateur radio license is $55. This is made up of our $4 administrative fee and $51 tax. The only portion that might be subject to a refund is the pro rata unused portion of the tax, that is $51. The $30 minimum refund equates to roughly an amateur license still having around 214 days until expiry. The ACMA will record details for refund based on the date that you surrender the license that is no longer needed. So the message is, if you want to apply for a refund, do it earlier rather than later. Start by sending a message to info@acma.gov.au saying that you wish to surrender a particular license at a particular date and wish to apply for a refund of the unused portion. You should receive an email confirming the surrender of the license and a statement of the amount of refund due. If you don't have your EFD details registered with the ACMA, you will eventually receive a check in the mail. I was told it was possible to provide a one-off notification so that the refund is made direct to a bank account if you wish. I did do this, but it seems that since my EFT details were not registered at the time of surrender, the system created and delivered a refund check in the mail about 2 weeks later. All in all, it was a relatively painless process. All it cost me was $80 for a new license, less $40 refund on surrendered license, equals $40 for the new license that has an expiry 12 months from today. I'm grinning at my shiny new license. Refund policy details are viewable on the ACMA webpages using your favorite EA search engine and look for the words ACMA, give up your license. No quotes, just the words. A postscript: the issue of a new license costs $80. This is made up of $51 tax and another $29 identified as a charge. Since administrative charges are not subject to a refund, surrendering a license in its first year of existence is less advantageous than in later years. Moral: if you are thinking of upgrading and surrendering licenses, avoid doing this multiple times within the period of the currency of a new license. Best 73.
Last week, and it happened just in time to include a late item in News West, the ACMA gave tacit approval for Australian amateurs to replace the VK call sign prefix with AX. There was quite a kerfuffle kicked up about it, and I might deal with that in another story today. Let me explain how the AX prefix thing works and why the ACMA did not grant direct permission to use AX. The simple answer was that the use of the AX prefix is set out in the LCD, the set of rules that governs amateur radio activity on air. The AX prefix is allocated to only 3 days, those being the 26th of January, which is Australia Day for most people, the 25th of April, which is Anzac Day, and the 17th of May, which is the World Telecommunication and Information Society Day, the birthday of the International Amateur Radio Union. So those days are set in concrete, and the ACMA has no discretion to occasionally add or subtract from what's set out in the regulations without actually amending the LCD itself. So when the presidents of the WIA and RASA jointly approached the ACMA last week asking to use AX as part of the celebration of the life of Queen Elizabeth, silent key, the ACMA had to say that they didn't have the discretion to authorise the use of the AX prefix. However, because of the importance of the occasion, they had no interest in pursuing any regulatory action over any amateurs using the AX prefix between the 19th and 23rd of September. If you're still confused, think about it this way. Child, with friend on sleepover, says to parent, "Can we eat some chocolates for a midnight feast while we watch movies?" And mum says, "Of course you can't, and I don't want to be picking up the wrappers in the morning." Your average 14-year-old understands perfectly what that means.
This is News West from VK6 ARN.
Thursday this week commemorated the passing of ex-WIA President Michael Owen, who was VK3KI, and that was 10 years ago, in 2012. Michael was the Wireless Institute President and the International Amateur Radio Union's Region 3 Chairman. And Michael was the president of the Wireless Institute at the time when amateur radio was reshaped, rationalising the licence levels down to 3, advanced, standard and the new foundation licence level. Michael left us suddenly and his expertise in governance and organisation was severely missed when he left. So fond memories of Michael. I had a few good debates with Michael about how things should be. He usually won, but there you go.
This is Andrew Victor Kilo 6 Alpha Sierra reporting for WA Amateur Radio News from Pitcairn Island in the South Pacific. I'm with Merelda Victor Papa 6 Mike Whiskey, who's an amateur on the island. Maybe she'd like to tell us a few words about her radio activities.
Okay, hi, I'm Victor Papa 6 Mighty Woman. I have been a radio operator, a ham operator, ever since 1984. I first got my license in Hawaii, and then, I should say Sebastopol, and I had a Hawaiian call sign, which I used in Hawaii. And then I had my VR6MW as well, and upgraded when we had to change our call sign from Victor Romeo to Victor Papa in 1992, I think it was. I've been an amateur radio here for all these years and have mainly had a Yaesu radio. At the present, I have a Yaesu Fox Tango 991 Alpha, which a friend of mine in Thousand Oaks, California, was able to help me to get. And his call sign is KI6YN, Fred Martin. And also, just last year, nearly a year ago, another friend, Kilo Echo 5 Echo Echo, Stan from Florida, he was able to get me a hex beam, so I have that up. But in 2019, we had the group come here, Victor Papa 6 Romeo, and they helped me out with getting a vertical 40-meter antenna. And with that vertical, I was able to tune up onto other bands and was working mainly on 17, and it worked really, really well. To you all, I would like to say a very, very big thank you for the antenna tuner that you sent here with Andrew. And thank you so much. And I would love to be on air and be in contact with you guys whenever we can, when propagation is good. Thank you so much. And a big 88 from here on Pitcairn Island, and I'll put it back to Andrew.
Thanks so much for that, Merelda. It is indeed a nice gift for her from WA Amateur Radio News. Victor Kilo 6 Alpha Sierra or Victor Papa 6 Alpha Sierra 73.
The News West monthly club focus program is coming up next week. You know how it goes. We are looking for items from clubs to either promote the club, brag about what the club has been up to, or to let members and others know what's coming up. If your club wasn't represented in last month's club focus, it's because someone didn't send anything to us. Give your club's publicity officer a prod. If your club doesn't have a club publicity officer, feel free to send in an article for your club and make sure your club gives someone the job. Promotion is vital, and promotion via several media outlets is important. It's simply not good enough to put all of your eggs in the Saturday morning email basket. You need to use every means available, broadcast news, emails, and Facebook. To be effective, it's best for your promotions to be timely and planned. A quick shout out to a few clubs. Wanastayas Brumby Radio Club, A Up to the Hills Amateur Radio Group, Namaste Northern Corridor Radio Group, Paging, the PLM to Radio Group, Shalom, Southern Electronics Group, What's Up, Western Australia Repeater Group, and What's Happening, Wasson, West Australia. At News West, we'd love to hear from you. All contributions must be received by noon on Friday. Earlier is even better. And we prefer MP3 mono 256 kilobyte quality. If you can't do MP3, Another format is okay, but please use the highest quality available to you. If you can't record, no problem. Write to us and let the News West team know what you've been up to. Our email address again, newswest@vk6.net.
The studio team this week was Andrew, VK6 Alpha Sierra, somewhere in the South Pacific, Greg, VK6 Lima Hotel, Paul, VK6 Echo Mike Delta, Roy, VK6 X-Ray Victor, and I'm Bob, VK6 POP, the News West producer. And let's remember also the broadcast team, the people that sit out there and play radios for your benefit, playing both the news programs for you.
From Western Australia, this is VK6 ARN, and you're listening to News West.
I'm sure some of you are wondering, why don't the Wireless Institute and the Radio Amateur Society of Australia get on? Well, that's a hugely long story, and we've only got 30 minutes, so let's tidy up the story a bit. RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia, was formed at a time when a lot of people thought that the WIA was in peril of collapse, with concerns over financial viability in the long term and governance within the organisation. The concern over the poor management was met with strong denials by the board, resignations of directors, and four volunteer treasurers in succession resigned over their concerns for the financial management of the WIA being ignored and denied. In the aftermath of the resignations, the Wireless Institute and some of their supporters harassed and denigrated the whistleblowers. The WIA attempted to expel four of the people involved, who were WIA members at the time, and they did this without due process for their involvement in the events leading up to the formation of RASA. The Wireless Institute board was forced to back down when one of the candidates for expulsion found out about the planned board meeting and turned up in person. The matter was never completely resolved. The board backed down and had agreed to apologise, but they never did, and they never have until this day. The Wireless Institute board, since then, so that's more than 5 years now, has refused to work with RASA for the betterment of amateur radio in Australia. RASA has, on a multitude of occasions, asked the Wireless Institute to work together, especially in matters of global concern to amateur radio in Australia, and particularly in approaches to the ACMA, with not even acknowledgement of receipt of the communication. Any correspondence from RASA, or anyone deemed to be connected with RASA, was ignored and most likely discarded. The Wireless Institute lost the deed with the ACMA a few years ago, and they behaved very poorly and unprofessionally, publicly accusing the ACMA and the Australian Maritime College of corruption and of theft of intellectual property in the form of the questions database for exams. They are still moaning and gnashing their teeth over it, unable to move on and to find something useful to do for amateur radio. The board and some of its acolytes have been relentlessly gaslighting and ghosting RASA. Some can't bear to use the name RASA, which is a bit Voldemortish from Harry Potter, they who must not be named sort of thing. It's very immature. A breath of fresh air emerged with the election of Scott Williams to the board and his appointment as president. Scott is keen to close the rift between the two organisations and for both organisations to work together for the good of the hobby. Scott has been blocked, outvoted, and bullied by his board in order to prevent collaboration happening. Members of his board are publicly undermining his efforts. He has no control over the WIA's media outlets, which selectively refuse to publish articles from people that they don't like. I don't understand Scott's reluctance to publicly call out the destructive behaviours of some of his board members. They are outrageously undisciplined and uninterested in the good of amateur radio in Australia. They're interested in revenge. Scott, if you're willing to make a public stand against the bullying, the disparaging comments and the divisiveness, you have my support. But you have to reach out and make the move. It won't go away. The bastards are running the show instead of the good guys. Let's work together to shut them down. I sent this article to Scott for his comment and I didn't receive a response, so I don't know what he thinks about it, but this is my summary of what's going on.
I'm Paul, and undoubtedly the most inexperienced and newest ham on the News West team. My licence from the ACMA only arrived on Tuesday this week. My time in amateur radio has been very short. I only started just under a year ago in the UK after ultimately taking a leap of faith and contacting my local amateur radio group, Golf Mike 6 November X-Ray, the Stirling and District Amateur Radio Society, and then subsequently the person who oversees club education, Golf Mike 6 Delta X-Ray, Billy McFarlane, who even today from the other side of the world is still giving me the encouragement I need to succeed. My first lessons in amateur radio were very hands-on. Under guidance, I adjusted a small telescopic antenna to achieve a good standing wave ratio, and we were off. I remember Billy's words exactly. Right, we've set this up. Let's see if it works. My very first floundering QSO was over a distance of about 10 metres. I had two goes, and then was immediately put on to listen to a guy in France who was working POTA. He called, I responded, we spoke, and I was smitten. Not with the guy in France, but with amateur radio. In the coming weeks and months, and probably years, I'm going to keep studying. My aim is to get a full amateur radio license, although the educational part of amateur radio is totally outside my comfort zone. I also have aspirations to learn CW, but one step at a time. Hopefully see you all on the bands. I'm Paul, Victor Kilo 6, Echo Mike Delta.
Well, time's flying by. Perth Tech's coming up much too soon. I'm still throwing things together. I'm sure it'll look good on the day. But let's just talk a little bit about what's coming up in the program. We'll have people talk about getting digital modes running on remote stations. We'll have someone talking about portable operations, particularly VKFF, parks, etc. We'll have the two presidents from the WIA and RUSA. We've got a special guest from the USA who will be zoomed in, and that's Justin. He'll be talking about contesting. Someone will be talking about homebrew, tips and traps. And we've got the team from Curtin University talking about the Binar satellite program. We'll talk about electronic logging. And if anybody has something that's worth presenting and that's going to be interesting to a bunch of crusty old amateurs, or maybe not so old or maybe not so crusty, you never know. But we do have spot for another presenter on the program. So give me a call, perthtech@vk6.net. I hope to have an interview with a couple of these presenters next week and in the weeks leading up, as few as they may be. So do stay tuned and please get out there and register, because it's only a couple of weeks before I have to tell the caterer how many serves of that glorious food is going to be dished up. Don't forget also, if you want to take advantage of the offer to camp there with your camper or your caravan, there are some sites available, and I think a couple of them can be powered. So try to be independent as you can with your camping. You're only going to sleep in there anyway. There are perfectly good ablution blocks there with lovely showers and dunnies and that sort of thing. So you know what to do. Just take camping shelter is there. And the cost is $12 per night per caravan. So that's pretty cheap. So get in there, register. Perth Tech's only $20. You're getting way more than in food value. Don't forget to take some extra cash for the raffle. We've got over $1,700 worth of prizes. It's a whole collection of prizes. So one ticket's not good enough. We're selling them in bundles of five for $10 a bundle, because you'll need more than one ticket. The camping cost is a pass-on fee for camping. There's a sundowner immediately after the Perth Tech on Saturday. That's $15. That'll just pay for the little bit of food we trot out for that to keep you happy. The bar's open. We've paid for the bar to be open. You buy your own drinks. And don't forget, those who are camping, it's open Friday night too. And whatever it is we organise for Friday night, it'll be entertaining and or fun. So it'll be a surprise for you and probably still a surprise for us until we get organised and sort something out. But it's a radio fun night. Just think what you could do camping out there in the bush next to a football oval surrounded by tall trees. Use your imagination. Anyway, Perth Tech, get registered, get in. There are no door sales. If you don't register, we're not going to open the door to you. You can make your mind up now that you can go and just register now. I'm not interested in people walking in the door without having registered. Might sound a bit harsh to some people, but hey, commit to it, folks. You won't regret it. It's just going to be a damn good show.
Good morning, this is Roy, VK6X-Ray Victor, with this week's almost weekly helpline for the 25th of September 2022. Today I have the following for you. For sale, I have an innovative antenna X-ray Romeo 3 tri-band antenna, price to go at $600, considerable drop of $150 on the price there. If you're interested in that XR3 tri-band antenna, please contact Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu, for further info. His email address is Sierra Tango Echo, Victor Kilo 6 Victor Zulu at tpg.com.au. I'll say again, Steve, VK6 Victor Zulu at tangopapagolf.com.au. And Kevin, VK6 Kilo Quebec, is still looking for a 23-centimetre transceiver, preferably mobile rather than a handheld one. Thanks, says Kevin. He may be contacted on 0429-788-898. Again, 0429-788-898. Email address is victorkilo6kiloquebec@wia.org.au. Next item comes from Wayne, VK6 Victor Echo. He has a 16-element Yagi for 70 centimetres on a 2.05-metre boom, $30. Very low SWR over the 430 meg band. Check with our analyzer. Contact Wayne on 0450-140-155. Again, 0450-140-155. Next comes from Mac, VK6 Mike. Mikey has three lengths of LDF 550 Alpha coaxial cable and some coaxial connectors on there, N-type connectors as well, and all come with a 90-day money-back guarantee, free to a good home. Call Mac on his email, vk6mike@iinet.net.au. Victor Kilo 6 Mike Mike at iinet.net.au. That's for cable, coaxial cable, LDF5-50 Alpha. Next item comes from Greg, VK6 Echo Delta. He's looking for an IC, it's an ICOM IC718 HF transceiver in working order. Please phone Greg on 0417-900-874. 0417-900-874. That's from Greg, VK6 Echo Delta. And today, finally, VK6 Kilo Charlie has a 318 Juliet Romeo 4-element tribander for 10, 15 and 20 beam, $500, best offer. Please contact Kurt, 0414-500-959, 0414-500-959. That's a lot for today. If you have any items for next week, please contact me at roy.watkins@bigpond.com. That's romeoskiyankee.watkins@bigpond.com. Thank you, 7-3 from me.
This week's debacle about the use of the Alpha X-ray call sign prefix has again shown that there's a noisy minority of amateurs whose only interest in amateur radio is to be destructive. Let's be clear, again, about what happened. The Wireless Institute president agreed to team up with the RASA president to jointly approach the ACMA for permission to use the AX prefix for a few days in honour of Queen Elizabeth to mark her passing and to celebrate her life. The senior person at the ACMA who was approached said it was a good idea, it had merit, and that it was a momentous occasion, and although they couldn't grant permission, they could look the other way and let us get on with it. Unfortunately, the guy from the ACMA in his email response used public sector speak, leaving a door open for criticism, and that criticism came quickly. It was promoted wildly by two Wireless Institute directors and their fanboys. That's the group that I've referred to in the past as the Choir Boys. Those directors had no interest in what's good for amateur radio. They were only interested in trying to put RASA down. Their focus was RASA, and more particularly a couple of people within RASA, and not amateur radio. This was picked up by their sycophantic supporters, and the derision and gaslighting began in force. The Wireless Institute president then backed out and changed his mind about using the AX prefix. He left RASA high and dry. And was this because he was bullied? Did the bullies win? They may think they won, but it's likely to be a Pyrrhic victory. What they did has done no good for anyone, and there will be fallout. The ACMA, who on Friday were delighted to see the Wireless Institute and RASA working together, and they said so in the email that was sent with RASA's news release, so you would have all seen it, saw within an hour the destructive force of two of the WIA directors. And why did they react that way? It was because they objected to their president collaborating with the RASA president. So they destroyed a good idea. Well done. I hope you're proud of yourselves. But history won't look favourably on you. Thanks for listening, and thanks to the broadcast team and studio teams. Next week we're into Club Focus again, so clubs, you know what to do. We're looking forward to your contributions. I heard indirectly that there was a silent key event during the week. If you know who it was, please pass some information on to us here at News West so that we can acknowledge them. Our email address is newswest@vk6.net. And that's it. It's your turn now to stick around for callbacks, then to get on air and make some noise.